Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Goddess Alive Radio 2016. Happy New Year, everyone. My name is Kimberly Moore, and I am the founder and priestess of Mother House of the Goddess. And I am absolutely delighted to be here in our third year of Goddess Alive Radio and beginning our first show of 2016. It's really exciting, and I am especially delighted that Mary Lamondo, who is our favorite Jungian astrologer, who does the full moon and new moon column of Mother House, does these amazing trips to Egypt and Peru, is joining us tonight to talk about the New Year astrology and what we can expect with our trends and cosmic weather reports for 2016. So I'm super, super excited. We're going to bring Mary on in just a second. A few housekeeping updates for 2016. I would like to invite everyone to pop over to mysteryschoolofthegoddess.net. It is hopping. We have so many amazing offerings coming that have launched in the past couple of weeks. Goddess Every Day started, which is you get the inspirational goddess prayer or post every single day. We have the Nine Moons Lunar Priestess course. Normandy Ellis will be joining Mystery School of the Goddess this month with Feast of Light. She'll be teaching every month for the next year. We also have Resurrecting the Magdalene, a full course on Mary Magdalene with an activation and ordination. I mean, so much good stuff, creating your soul, and all kinds of beautiful offerings that are free as well. So again, mysteryschoolofthegoddess.net, pop over and check out all of the delicious offerings and some really great ways to start your new year off on the right, you know, kind of the right foot and set your intentions. We're going to be talking tonight about intentions and how the astrology can assist us because we have a few challenges, as everybody knows, I'm sure. You know, you've been seeing the dire postings on the Mercury retrograde and everything, but we're going to talk about the ways that Mercury retrograde can help you in the upcoming weeks and how to navigate some of those challenges. So I'm going to bring Mary on. While we bring Mary on, you can get more information, order readings. She's got some winter specials going on. Pachaterra.com, P-A-C-H-A-T-E-R-R-A.com. Mary is the only astrologer that I do my reports with, and she does my chart several times a year. We talk about things. It is like my map, and I could not go without it. So I highly, highly recommend getting a reading from Mary. We will have an opportunity at the end of the show tonight to take a couple of callers. But I definitely encourage everybody, there's no better way to start a new year than with a chart reading to kind of really see what's coming up and how to navigate it. So without further ado, let's bring Mary on. Mary, are you there?
Yes, Kim. Well, hi. Happy New Year to you and to all of our listeners and Mother House of the Goddess folk out there, and thank you. And you know, it's quite an honor to be the first live guest of the new year, so thank you. That's really special for me, actually, and it's just always a pleasure to be with you, so thank you, Kim.
Well, right back at you, definitely, and I'm just so delighted, and I'm so glad, you know, you've been doing so much traveling. You know, you were on in the fall in between your Peru and Egypt trip. And, you know, and I know you're planning another trip to Egypt coming up. Do you want to tell everybody about that very quick before we get into the astrology?
Oh. Well, yes. I'm going back. I was in Egypt in November, and we had our group had a really great time, as usual. I mean, it's always good to be in Egypt. The energy's great. The people are great. The whole Megillah, if you will, over there is always stupendous. And so it kind of gets boring to just keep repeating all the great adjectives. But we're going back. I'm going back in March 2016, and that will be that registration for that trip is actually still open until mid-February, so people can contact me if they're feeling called to go to Egypt. And it's all, the temples are great, the energy is great, it's safe over there. So if anybody wants more information, just please contact me. We're doing the Nile cruise, we're doing the private time in the Great Pyramid. It's really wonderful. And that having been said, I'm also going to Peru in September of this year. So there is always quite a bit of traveling going on in my world, that's for sure. So the intention and following that energy of the new year, setting us up for the new moon, it's great because I want to give people like a real positive outlook on how to navigate and put all this together. Because when we start a new year, it's kind of like we're looking at the cusp, something that's not quite here yet, but we're looking forward to it. And so everyone starts out feeling good, and usually that momentum, you know, peters out a few weeks into it. But the idea is that especially this January, we're looking at kind of like a momentum that's pushing us forward into February. It's like the new year really technically, in terms of astrology, starts in February, once we're actually past this retrograde period. So this is kind of, there's like mini cycles within major cycles that I'm going to be talking about. But January is always a good time to refresh ourselves, to look at where we want to go back, and let's say even something like going into a health regime and starting off on a new foot health-wise, all of that's great to start in January. And even with a retrograde, you know, what we're doing is we're looking at and resetting our, let's call it our physical barometers. It's like you're resetting your your metabolism, you're resetting your sights on what you want to be in terms of a healthy individual. And so the retrograde can actually help with that because we're resetting, and we want to redo things in a good way rather than kind of pile on all the extra baggage, extra weight, extra stuff. Because the new year is a really good time, especially since this retrograde is in the sign of Capricorn, which is ruled by Saturn. We want to pare down. We want to get rid of any excess, whether that's stuff or whether that's weight or whether that's just mental outlook. It's like anything we do to reduce or, kind of pare down, it's always good to do that in a retrograde, especially with a Capricorn retrograde at the beginning of a new year. So I always have, you know, there's certain rules to follow with retrogrades, but, you know, when you were looking at the silver lining with this retrograde, there is some good stuff with this retrograde as well. And it begins tomorrow, January 5th, retrograde begins, and it's here with us until the 18th. So it's not a particularly, it's with us until the 25th. It's not an overly long retrograde period, but we're shifting into looking at things with a different lens. And so that's always a good way to look at the retrograde. You want to kind of, as if you're taking a photo, you know, you want to redo that lens, so you're clarifying things and looking at them a bit closer rather than at a long-range distance. So, and I will talk about there's a few retrogrades in 2016 that I'll be talking about as we go on. The major picture, there's like big themes that will be, you know, basically most astrologers talk about in terms of the beginning of the year. And the cycles we're looking at are the outer planets. Tail end of the cardinal cross, we're looking at the Uranus square Pluto, part of that cardinal cross, which is with us until 2017. And we also have Saturn square Neptune. When we talk about the squares in astrology, that's a 90-degree angle, which actually is more challenging than the trines or the sextiles. And so we see a lot of that going on in the collective pictures, governments, you know, international politics, economics, all of that stuff that's going on in the outer world. And it comes under the heading of fate, destiny. Sometimes these outer planets are things that we're born into a certain collective time period to be part of. It's like, this is when we, you know, Jung talks about the collective consciousness. We're kind of the small drops in the bigger ocean of the collective. But what we do and think and how we act on an individual level impacts that larger collective. So let's say even if we're looking at these larger pictures like the Uranus-Scorpio-Pluto transit, which is one of the things that brings up Earth changes and global politics and international terrorism, all of those things out there, because we're looking at great collective tides that have to do with awakening and transforming consciousness. So there's always going to be big things out there in the outer world. But the last time Uranus was squaring Pluto in these signs happened between 1927 and 1934, and those were the years of the Great Depression and the rise of dictatorship in Europe and the fall of rise of countries and leaders right before World War II. So we're seeing how those themes, not the actual events or the same exact personalities are out there, but that they're themes. And so that Uranus-Pluto theme will be around for a while until 2017, and we're looking at large themes in international scenarios. Also the political, you know, arena of the United States comes under this. And, you know, when we're looking at these larger pictures, it's always about how we react as individuals to the shadow stuff that comes up in the collective. And that's where it's really a good idea to have a handle on your own psychology and have something that is very meaningful and very spiritual, or at least philosophically meaningful to you in your life, so that you don't get caught up in these great waves of, you know, chaos that blow through humanity with these larger trends. Within the larger trends, there's also like individual karmic themes that we're working on. That's when people say, well, you know, how do you deal with all this? What do you do? Well, the number one rule, if you really want to be proactive, is learn about your own chart. Find out about what makes you tick. And you don't have to become an astrologer, but at least go to an astrologer that you trust to have a reading and see where you fit in the cosmic scheme of things, as well as the people and the close members around you in your close circles, because that helps you. And as we navigate ourselves through some of these larger scenarios, we can actually give help to other people just by staying centered. That's a real big deal right now, is to remain centered while everything around us just feels like it's either moving too quickly or descending into chaos.
Right. Well, and you know, it's a really good point, and that's why I wanted to make sure to mention about getting, you know, especially with the beginning of a new year, it's a great time to get your chart done, because it is like a map. I mean, you know, the information you give me when we do our readings, I mean, is so valuable, Mary. I mean, I look at my chart, my notes and everything. I look at them every month, you know, and just kind of touch base with things you had mentioned. And, you know, because when things get rocky, sometimes it helps to know that it's not like, you know, everything coming down in my head at once. It's some kind of transit that's going to end soon. Or, it just gives you a little bit of, it does give you a center to a certain extent.
Yes, and those insights are valuable because it's helpful to know that things move in cycles, and within cycles. There's larger collective cycles, and then there's the individual ones that we go through personally, and that's what helps. And I think one of the best uses of one-to-one astrology, of dealing with one, you know, client at a time, is that you really get to look at, and the person themselves gets to see how they are part of the larger wheel of destiny. And it really does make a difference. The cycles of the moon also. I know, you know, monthly you have the meditations for the new moon and the full moon, and you have guest speakers come on and lead the meditations. That's really helpful, because when one of the main things that we as humans are learning how to work with is our emotional range, and when we get too out of whack, you know. So following the moon, number one, knowing your own moon sign, and then following the cycles of the moon monthly is really helpful. And we all know that in the old days, you know, the women did that, and they had monthly collective groups and meetings, because that was important for the tribe. And but now in modern day society, we've kind of lost that feeling. However, the idea of the wisdom and the knowledge behind why that was important is still there. Like, as women now, we don't necessarily have to go out in a, you know, in a group and go meditate in a hut together, although it's not a bad idea. But just knowing your own cycle and your own moon rhythm, you know, get yourself a little astrology calendar or an ephemeris or something that you can follow, and find out when the new moons and the full moons are, and then tune in to, you know, Mother House of the Goddess, Goddess Alive Radio, and listen to who's speaking every month and the meditation, because that gives you a signpost that at least you know twice a month there's an anchor, there's a ballast, there's something to keep you solvent in the midst of, you know, 3D chaos, or how our lives get really, really busy and we kind of move out of whack, and we really, you know, we all want to be centered. You know, we all want to have that spiritual grounding and psychological rootedness that helps us make good daily decisions. But sometimes things just get out of hand, and not from anything that we're doing wrong, but just because life is moving at such a fast pace. That's part of the quickening that is also part of these larger transformational cycles that we're in. There's just time is becoming such an illusionary idea. However, noting that the moon is always up there and that it's always a focus for our emotional bodies, then that does help us ground and move with some of those cycles that are actually planetary cycles and stellar cycles are something that the ancient wisdom teachers, whether they were indigenous people, ancient Egyptians, whether they came from South America, China, India, or Tibet, they all talked about the same thing, that if you wanted to live a very productive life, and you also mm-hmm. wanted to be tuned in to your inner wisdom and higher guidance, it's like you stay grounded on the earth and you look to the stars. It doesn't matter what culture you look at, they all say the same things. So they all can't be wrong. You know, we're the ones that are like, oh, yeah, well, you know, and that's the difference between, you know, on a very subtle level, you don't have to do much, and it doesn't cost you a lot to just sometimes stand in nature wherever you are and just feel yourself part of the earth, look up at the sky, look at the clouds, the stars, the sun, the moon, whatever time of the day it is, and just feel how connected you are. It's like you become this human acupuncture needle between the sky and the earth. And just in that moment, that's all it takes, is like a few seconds, you realign your entire physical body. It's easy
so
to do that
when
you're in places, you know, we call them sacred sites. But when you're in these places like Egypt or Peru or India, Tibet, you know, it's easy to feel that because it's all around you. But, you know, but if we can all just take the moment to go out and do it wherever we stand, it's really amazing. And if you can do it where it's not concrete but grass, or at least some sort of, you know, kind of earthing feel, it will help so much more, because we're so out of whack. The equilibrium is so removed from nature that now just doing something really simple gets you back, you know, light years back to center. Where in the old days, people didn't have to, you know, they didn't have to think about it in such a way. It was present and around them. Now we kind of have to look for it more. But once we decide to do it, it's like instantaneous. There's no, it's almost like a time-lapse photography where it just moves very quickly. So that's one of the boons about living in this age of heightened light frequency. It's like as you think, so you are. So if you stand and be centered, know that you are centered. But there are some helpful hints and helpful rules to keep you there. So the idea is working with the moon cycles, very great intention to start out with the new year. And January 8th, the new moon, wonderful time to start that in terms of setting up the 12 months of the year. Most of the time what we're looking at, it's like the whole theme of this year with Capricorn and Aries is rebuilding. It's like, how do we rebuild from the ashes of the old? And the basically a key idea is that, for better or worse, there's a new normal. It's like the rules no longer, the old rules no longer apply. We're learning how to shed our old selves and just embrace new opportunities. And sometimes those opportunities are disguised as huge challenges, like really disguised. So the idea is to not dwell on the past or look back on the past and really want the good old days to be with us, because those good old days don't exist anymore except in our own memories or minds, which is fine. But the idea that quantum physics and the reality of where we are right now as consciousness is moving forward very, very quickly. And if we're looking at it in terms of time, what's elapsed and what is in the past doesn't really affect us anymore unless we want it to. Does that make sense? That's what these themes
it really
are.
Really does.
This year it's all about time. And how are we dealing with time? It's a big concept, but 2016 is the year where humanity gets to wrap its collective mind around time. It's as if Einstein gets to come back again and give us some new paradigms here to work with. I think we're going to be looking at some very interesting scientific discoveries over the next year or so, or announcements. Let's put the discoveries are probably there. It's the announcements that are going to be very interesting regarding time.
Oh, how interesting! That is very, very interesting.
And
go ahead.
any question or anything you wanted to ask, comment on it with that.
Well, you know, we come into our eclipse cycles, you know, in spring and fall.
Mm-hmm.
How are they looking for 2016?
Well, this year we actually have 4 eclipses. We're past the 2015 year where people were talking about the blood moons in those eclipse cycles. These cycles are not blood moons. They're, you know, normal eclipses, and so there's not a lot of biblical prophecy surrounding them. The first eclipse is going to be March 8th, 2016, in the sign of Pisces. And this is a water sign. As we know, Pisces is a water sign. And it's also a supermoon, which means it appears closer to the horizon of the Earth as the moon gets fuller during that time. And it's really going to impact the west coast of the United States where it's visible. Anytime we have an eclipse where the penumbra or the shadow falls, that's significant to the area where that shadow of the eclipse falls. And the west coast is significantly impacted with this in March. Now, when we look at water eclipses, we know that this past season we've been having huge influx of weather patterns caused by the El Nino, which is it's a very, very, very devastating to certain parts of the planet where flooding and tidal waves and torrential rains impact. The west coast of the United States and South America is already feeling this, and it has been since November. This is actually the worst El Nino on record as far as they've documented it. But it's worse in the sense that the rains are heavier and they're lasting longer. And if we're looking at an eclipse, we're looking at water and earth eclipses usually do bring some sort of earth changes or some sort of crazy weather patterns with them. The positive side of eclipses is when we're looking at them on the esoteric or spiritual side. We're looking at an eclipse in the sign of Pisces, which has to do with compassion, feeling, and also when we're thinking of all of the Piscean elements of Christ consciousness and the elements that have to do with being the guiding light and the higher aspects of ourselves, connecting in with your spiritual high aspect, your higher self, your seventh chakra, your guides, all of that. With an eclipse, it's like there's a change up. It's like something new is coming in. So people may be experiencing it as they're feeling like a spiritual renaissance in their own lives, or they're experiencing new guides or aspects coming in. But something different. Their solar eclipses bring about something new. And there's also a closing of something. So it's kind of like you leave a door and you walk through the new door. The lunar eclipses as well. This year we have a full moon lunar eclipse on August 18th in the sign of Aquarius, and September eclipse, lunar eclipse on September 16th. So the eclipses show us like bookends, where new cycles are beginning and the old cycle ends. Every year has at least 2 to 4 eclipses, and so we're always getting the chance to move forward. And sometimes it's easier and not as much of a challenge. Other times, depending on where we are personally, how our personal birth chart is affected, just what area we are in our own lives, what's being aspected, sometimes we feel eclipses more than other times, and that's usually a personal issue. But as those get closer to us in time, it's easier to see how they come forward in outer events, because usually major news stories have something to do with the eclipse, the sign of that the eclipse is in. You see this theme happening around that eclipse. But
okay,
we're looking at definitely more of this idea of global warming and the eradication of certain lands, coastal areas, and the rising of waters. So that's even in the older prophecies, if you go back and you look through Edgar Casey's writings and Nostradamus and different people who have talked about the time periods between 2016 and 2020, a lot of talk was about earth changes and how the lands look different. And one of the things that Edgar Casey talked about was how the Mississippi River and the Missouri River would empty into the Gulf of Mexico. And just right around Christmas and New Year's, we saw huge floodings in that area. Now, usually with these prophecies, they're never as dire or they're never as extreme as the original prophecy. But we kind of get part of the concept is there. And so that part of the country also, that Midwest, is seeing changes that, you know, maybe 20 or 30 years ago, they never thought they would see or it wouldn't be happening. So that's a continuum. That's not going to move away or go backwards. It's that continuum of seeing certain land changes and more water rising is going to continue into 2020, and earmarked pretty much the end of 2015, beginning 2016. So the idea is to just trust your intuition and to be aware of these things. It's not to instill fear in anyone or to, you know, create self fulfilling prophecies. It's more like you keep an eye on everything and just kind of make your own or draw your own conclusions It's all about being discriminating, which is what Jupiter in Virgo is telling us right now. Jupiter is in Virgo until September of 2016. And it's all about being very, very aware. It's like using your inner radar to pick up what's around you and then define that information for yourself rather than listening to a lot of what other people are telling you. And one of my first astrologer teachers described Jupiter in Virgo as God is in the details. You know, it's like you really want to look closely. It's like be aware of the big picture, but also keep track of the details. And while Jupiter is in Virgo, and it has been since August of 2015, and it will be in Virgo until September 9th, 2016, we're looking at expansion. Jupiter is all about expansion. And in the sign of Virgo, we'll see issues that come up around health care, food, feeding the world, ecology, talking about the greenhouse effect, and also people's health benefits, like things about U.S. Health care and how to take care of people and what their needs are, like food, shelter, clothing. All of that is very important in the sign of Virgo. And we're looking at the Virgo's an earth sign, so it has to do with the earth. Like, how do we keep the earth stable? How do we keep the earth in balance? All of these are Jupiter and Virgo questions, and they'll be around us very importantly through September of 2016. There's a lot of election campaigning going on in this country over 2016, and astrology definitely, you know, plays a part in some of these themes as if we look at those charts of some of the front runners. But it's more important for us to say, how can I maintain and sustain myself and my immediate environment? It's like, how can I clean up my own reality, so to speak, my own backyard, and then rather than look outside for other people to, you know, save me or to come through at the last minute and make a final solution. I mean, it's really funny in this country how we wait, you know, until the government runs out of money, you know, until Congress will make a decision on something. And it's, you know, every January it's kind of the same thing. Well, you know, is it look like we're going to be bankrupt or not? Or what's going to, because when we do that in our own lives, it's like crazy. But yet there's this way of it working on the, you know, national scene where it seems to be okay. The rule with Virgo, again, is to just look at how you can deal with things in your own circle. And then that ripple moves out into the collective. We have, you know, January is an interesting month because we've got the retrograde. We've got, you know, we've got the idea of this Uranus-Pluto square, and we've got Jupiter and Virgo. So we're dealing with major pictures. And so it's as if people really are restless and want to get moving and really want to do the right thing and have all the right intentions. But it's a little bit of like trying to put your foot on the brake and the accelerator at the same time. So we kind of have to learn that little bit of a balance. And then in February, when things are a little bit lighter on the cosmic scenario, things will move very, very quickly.
Oh,
so the next 2 weeks in January, if it feels like you really want to get gung-ho on things, but it's not quite moving as fast as you'd like, it's okay. And with Capricorn, the retrogrades, usually the meaning of the Capricorn signifies it would be more business-oriented, money issues, security issues, things that are very solid, very practical, because it's an earth sign. So practical use of that retrograde would be redoing something, like if you need to fix up a part of your home or you need to go back and re-edit or clean out some closets or get something ready because you're going to resell it, you're revamping it, restoring it, refurbishing it. It's Okay, anything on a retrograde. I'm not saying stop your life, but the big, big things like buying a car, buying a house, you know, getting a complicated computer or technology system, that I would wait for until the retrograde is over.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. So now let me ask you a question, because, you know, we've got a very interesting thing happening with the political situation where we have two kind of front runners that are not usual. You know, we have, you know, Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders kind of coming out of the blue and kind of creating a movement in the country. Is that, how does that weigh in with the astrology of kind of the old political guard being thrown over a little bit, it seems like?
Well, you know, when we look at political astrology, there's a whole way of looking at it, the same way people look at economic astrology. But what's interesting is we know that the United States is a Cancerian country, you know, born on the 4th of July, and there's two charts. Some people use a chart of the United States having a Gemini rising, and some charts have it with Sagittarius. Now, Donald Trump's chart, interestingly, corresponds with the chart of the United States, for better or worse. I'm not saying that he's, you know, that it's positive in terms of him winning the election, but
right.
You can see the appeal with the astrology, because he's got Sun conjunct Uranus. The chart of the United States has Sun conjunct Uranus, and that's kind of like a rebellious streak. That's someone that's like a, you know, just his whole chart is, Donald Trump's chart is, it's very sentimental in a way, like flag waving, very dramatic, but very changeable, very erratic. He's got Mars, Pluto in the 12th house, which, you know, he keeps talking about how strong he is. Well, it's interesting because Mars, Pluto in the 12th house, it's not so much that it's strength, but the way it forms with the other aspects in his chart, it's more like a bullying effect. It's like there's nothing really to back it up like a strong foundation. It's his chart's a little bit all over the place. But he does have Jupiter in Libra. And in the fall of this year, Jupiter goes into the sign of Libra, and his Jupiter's in Libra in the second house, which has to do with work and values and priorities. So it could be that he's appealing to the segment of the collective U.S. mind frame that wants to be a little rebellious, say changeable, say, you know, whatever they want, and kind of like, you know, be tougher than they are really. It's kind, it's like bravado. You know, it's a chart that's full of bravado. There isn't a lot of self-discipline. Now, I'm sure people would say, well, you know, he rose to the top and he's got, yes, but there's certain things that, you know, when you look at, let's say you look at a chart of Hillary Clinton, she's very much not flashy at all, but there's a lot more self-discipline in that chart than in the other chart. And so it just depends on the collective, like where the collective mood is. You know, Bernie Sanders, I don't really have full details on his astrology chart, but of the two, of the ones that I have, the two most, it feels like, compatible with the collective on one side or the other, it feels like it's Donald Trump and Hillary in terms of the astrology. I would definitely, if I had to choose by chart, I would choose her because it's much more dependable. She doesn't have that erratic hair trigger response.
Set it on fire, right, yeah.
Right, and I mean, I don't know if people really know her chart, but according to the information we have on her, she's Sun in Scorpio, Moon in Pisces, and Cancer rising. So that she's got a lot of water in her chart, which is actually a lot more feeling than you would think. So I think there's a lot of depth there, which the other chart doesn't really have.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not playing favorites. It's pure astrology.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's very interesting. You know, it really is. I mean, at a certain point, you're going,
when
God,
Jupiter,
it's just back and
when
back.
Jupiter, yeah, and when Jupiter does move into Libra in the fall, that's right before the election, and Libra is a lot more about compromising and balancing and creating win-win situations, because Libra is like the peacemaker of the zodiac. And so right before November, we might see some very interesting plays of compromise and shifting gears, so that things are much more even Steven than they seem now. In other words, players may change to create much more of a win-win compatible situation and compromise a lot more than you're going to see now in the next few months. So watch what happens in September when that sign changes. It's going to be really interesting as far as the elections go.
It'll be very interesting. Very interesting. Okay. So how about, you know, everybody's always interested in love and money, and, you know, how does the money picture look? You know, can we give it a...
Well, and, you know, again, when we talk about world economies and we're looking at Uranus square Pluto and the end of the cardinal cross, so to speak, Saturn square Neptune, which is a very interesting aspect as well, which, you know, it started in November of 2015, will continue until September of 2016. So we have a lot of cycles that move forward and shift towards the end of this fall. However, Saturn square Neptune is pretty much a generational aspect that has to do with dissatisfaction of the status quo. It's like when Saturn was conjunct Neptune, that was like when the baby boomers that were the kind of rock and roll kids were born in the mid-50s, late 1950s. They grew up with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and all of that. It was the hippie generation that was dissatisfied with the status quo, which was their parents making money and it didn't mean anything. Remember, everybody wanted to go live on, you're too young, but people wanted to go live on communes and they wanted to get away from everything. They wanted to leave the establishment. Well, that transits back again, except it's not the conjunction, it's the square, which means it's challenges. And it has to do with a dissatisfaction with the status quo. And I have a feeling that whatever, it's like, whatever the authority is, like whether it's generals or governments or corporations or banks trying to tell people what to do, people aren't going to want to follow it. That gives rise to economic instability. Not stability. And also Uranus square Pluto, which is the granddaddy, you know, transit that I was talking about, which was going on during the Great Depression and the rise of the military dictators right before World War II. We're looking at a grand plan that is very unstable. So to say, well, are things going to be, you know, is the economy going to get better? Well, it may improve, but is it going to be, you know, when I said, oh, back to the good old days of what we thought. No, and the root cause of that is because there's a lot of collective dissatisfaction with things the way they are. And so how that comes about is, you know, how individuals take it upon themselves to change that. Those big corporations and the big governments and the Pentagon are never going to change because they want to. It's going to change because we make it happen. Now, I know I just, you know, read that they're having some demonstrations out there on the West Coast up in Oregon. You know, people are you know, again, wanting to take over, you know, certain institutions. And, you know, there's a movement, you know, which I think will grow stronger in 2016, people taking responsibility and wanting to take over, you know, from the government, better or worse, whatever it is that their particular agenda is, that idea is going to grow. Personally, how people think about their own finances, it's like learning how to rollerblade on the ocean. You know, I mean, if you're creative and you know how to think on your feet and you're very resourceful, you can probably become, millionaire entrepreneur over the next 2 years, because the whole idea is to do things in a different way. It's, you know, if you can come up with new and innovative techniques and you're not afraid to try something new, and you're also not too fearful to let go of what's holding you back, it's fine. I'd love to be able to wave a magic wand and say, oh, yes, everything's going to get much better. But, I really don't think it is unless we decide to change what our priorities are and what we think is important as a collective. Now, having said that, there are little things that I think might, be changeable in a good way, is that gold's probably going to go up and, reach an all-time high in 2016, because we're looking at certain things rising and that are ruled by certain planets, like metals and things of that nature. It's good right now in terms of the astrological pictures for metals. But stock markets, that up and down roller coaster effect that we saw all of 2015 is probably not going to change all that much in 2016, because we're still pretty much in those the cardinal cross picture. But what's going to happen is that people's dissatisfaction is going to grow stronger and stronger. And so people just aren't going to sit back and say, oh, yeah, there it goes again, or, oh, yeah, isn't that horrible? It's more like they're going to get a little bit more activated or proactive about wanting to change it. And hopefully that's going to be one of the good things about people stepping up and saying, well, you know what, I'm going to vote, or I'm going to do that. I'm going to do something that helps me feel like I'm going to be proactive and changing something positive in my own life.
Good. Good, good. Wow. Exciting. It's a lot of interesting, exciting, energy. And like you said, I think a lot of this is about empowerment of the self, Mary, about really knowing how you can affect change within yourself and your life and take advantage of some of this kind of wilder energy.
Exactly, because, this is not the time to sit around and say, well, okay, you know what, somebody else is going to take care of me. The government's going to take care of me. This is going to take care of me. It's the institutions. The whole theme of Pluto and Uranus is the breakdown of institutions. And this has been going on for years now. It's like, we're looking at lots of things that will never be the same again. And so the way to deal with that is to kind of look around, take what you need, let go of what's holding you back, and move forward. It's like the story of Lot's wife in the Bible. If you turn around and look, you're going to get, you're going to turn into a pillar of salt, because if you stay rooted and not flexible and not willing to change and go with the flow, so to speak, you'll get wiped out. Because that has to do with everything. It has to do with mental pictures. It has to do with your physicality, emotionally. It's like, this is a time to be very resilient. I'm telling all my clients, and myself included, this is the year that if you've never did anything like yoga, or if you've always wanted to or did it in the past and dropped it, start doing yoga again. It's like the whole idea is to be very flexible in mind, body, and philosophy.
I like that.
The minute you say it can only be this way, it's the minute that something's going to come and knock that, chip right off your shoulder.
Well, I've learned not to tempt Goddess that way, Mary. So that is a for sure thing. That is so great. That is so great. So what are, if someone would like to get a reading with you, what kind of specials do you have going on right now?
Well, anyone can contact me with their details, and I'm doing a special where it's two readings and it's $150. So it's kind of like one, not quite two for one, but it's a significant savings on two readings. So two readings for $150, which is usually yourself and another person. Usually people like to do a spouse or child or significant other, you know, and get the relationship reading. And that will continue into for Valentine's Day up until February the 14th. So there's, I do all kinds of readings. I did readings for children and vocational readings and chart readings for if you're thinking about moving to a different geographical place. I mean, astrology works for just about anything, starting a business. Just, you know, if you contact me, there is a reading that is, you know, definitely karmic astrology covers all the details. There's no stone unturned. So, you know, it's and then usually an hour is pretty much a good time, length of time to get you started on what, you know, on a good handle on the chart. And then I have clients who call me like every 2 or 3 months just to, you know, for an update or just to keep going. And I also do astrology tutoring and one-to-one classes if people are interested in that.
Absolutely beautiful, yeah. And those are really well worth it. So I will say that for sure.
Thank you.
So good. Okay. Well, is there anything else that you might want to cover, or we've got a bunch of people in the queue that we could take a couple of calls.
Great. Well, let's see if people have any comments or questions. Great.
Yep, that sounds good. So let's see here. What I'm going to do is I'll call out the last 4 digits of your phone number, and then and I'll unmute you. So we're going to go to 6740. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for all your information. It's really enlightening.
Oh, you're welcome. What's your name?
My name's Pat. Yes, Patricia.
Did you have a question, Pat?
Yeah, I just wanted to see how things look for me in the economic work realm this year.
Okay, and what's your birth date, Pat?
January 16th, 1950.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Coming up right around the corner. Wow,
yeah,
happy
it is.
Solar return. What kind of work do you do now, Pat?
Marketing.
Okay. Check your planets here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're a pretty good networker. Do you like to work? Do you do a lot of work on the computer?
I do a lot of research, and you know, not for a job, but just on my own. I do a lot of looking around in the computer.
Yeah, because I see computers around you a lot. You have a very good mind for business, and you're very entrepreneurial. I would say whatever it is that you put your mind to. This is, if you feel like you want to work on your own, self-employment is a good option for you. I mean, you're a good boss of you. when you talk about economics, is it because you're leaving a job or not working right now, or what?
Well, I'm working part-time, but I'm kind of looking for a change. I've been marketing, doing the same kind of thing for over 20 years, and little variation in there, but I just don't see it really growing and going anywhere. And I'm just seeing some things that I'm not happy with the company, so I'm kind of looking to change somehow.
Okay.
So
without having the whole format of sitting and doing your whole chart with the whole reading, in essence, in a very quick synopsis of this, I would say that you have a good mind for business, and your mind's very open. Like you the idea of researching and networking. It's like you do good on your own. If you wanted to kind of branch out and maybe start a small time business on your own, when it feels like computers are a big part of it, then you have it's like you really have the capacity to run your own business and do well with it. I would say take the retrograde period that we're in going into in January now this month, and really do your own research, especially about how to do a startup, see what's around you, see what kind of client list you could build up for whatever that is that you want to do, because right now I can't tell you what it is. I can just see
right.
that timing around it is good for you to branch out on your own a little bit more, because you do get bored. I mean, Capricorn, you're very responsible, you're very stable, but you have a lot of Aquarius in your chart, which, you know, you're an original thinker and you like to do things your own way. So having said that, I think, you know, don't be afraid to try something on your own. You might not want to, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater right now. Like, maybe don't quit the part-time job that you have. But use
right.
this month to reorient and see how you could start up something that you really feel strongly about on your own and become the boss of you. And then maybe slowly transition over the next 3 or 4 months. Because when that eclipse comes in March, that's usually when people feel like what's been waiting on the back burner, it's time to move forward with it. Now, you don't have any planets in the sign of Pisces, which would be a direct impact of that eclipse in March, but there's enough change around you right now with that Mercury going into Aquarius in January and February that you're going to feel like your mental faculties want to shift into something different. So, yeah, keep the research and keep thinking about how you would do it if you were your own boss. And I think it's a good place for you to start.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I'll use the Mercury retrograde in time for cleaning up and looking for something new.
Right, and it's like making a list of, you know, like your good qualities, you know, like if you have a resume and, you know, you haven't dusted it off in a while because you haven't needed it, now's the time to, like, pull out the resume, you know, put things on it that are new, creative, you know, embellish what's already there. Mercury retrograde's brilliant for that.
Okay, great, and I'll work on that because I'm feeling very much cocoony anyway, so I feel like just withdrawing in and chilling out and revamping and cleaning out and looking forward. So that's great. Thank you so much.
Good. Well, you're right. You're right in with the energy.
Yeah.
And happy birthday.
And thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday, Pat. That's wonderful. Good luck.
Thank you very much. Yes. And all of you have a blessed evening. Thank you.
You too, darling.
Right.
Bye-bye. So good. Getting that Capricorn energy going. Okay. So, how about caller 6809? Hello?
Hello.
Hi there.
Yes, hello. Oh, this is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
This is Mary also.
Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year, Mary. What's your birthday?
My birthday just passed on December the 8th.
Oh, happy birthday. Now, to look up your chart, I need the year.
Sure, 43.
Okay, and do you have a question, Mary?
Yes, for the last several years, I've been struggling very hard to get control of my financial situation and my health. Those are the two areas that are giving me a real hard time. And I've also, to balance that out, I've had close connections with a spiritual group, and now things are even shifting in that area. So right now I'm very, in kind of a mixed up state about the whole situation and which way to go, what to do.
Well, did you listen to the first part of the
I listened
the hour?
To all of it, yes.
One of the things we're all learning how to do, Mary, is kind of listen and count and kind of listen, center into our own inner guidance and counsel. And sometimes it's okay to kind of let people's advice kind of slide off your back, like, you know, and just really listen to your own inner guidance. And sometimes we get, it's like interference when it's coming in from other people. But if you have a really strong gut feeling, especially around the 23rd of this month, which is the full moon, I think that's going to be a really important time for you.
Wait, that's my third house, then, of communications in Leo?
Okay. Yeah, I don't have your chart in front of me because I don't know your time, but if you know it, then yes.
I have a Gemini rising, if that helps.
What's your rising sign?
Gemini rising.
Gemini. Okay. Well, yes, and that's what moon then in the third house, it's like you want to listen to your inner channel, your inner counsel, your inner guidance. Something, it feels like there may be, you do have, besides the ascendant, there are a lot of Gemini planets in your chart. So
you're right. I have quite a few, and in the 12th house at that.
Right, and the Sagittarius planets are opposite that. So it's kind of like this mental seesaw that you're on all the time. So think the sign of Libra, the balance, the scales. You always want to try to be in the center of the scale where it's even, not too much on one side, not too much on the other. So try to not, and this, it's a fine line between being a know-it-all and being very egotistical and say, I know everything and I don't have to listen to anybody, and then listening to every single person and then getting confused because they're all telling you different things. So use that full moon, and I know that Kim probably has a really good meditation around that time, or, to center and follow your guidance. If there is any dissension in any groups that you're in right now, it might be best to just let it go for a while, you know, see what happens. It's like, I'm not saying drop a group completely, but give yourself a timeout, give yourself a chill zone so you can listen to your inner self about what the next step is.
Right. I have a close friend who's getting the same kind of feelings about it. And we usually go together on it, and we've picking up kind of the same thing, and we've been going for a long time, and all of a sudden something just don't resonate with us anymore, and yet we're exploring other avenues, and they're not really meaningful, and it's just getting confusing as to where we're going to go from here, or just wait it out, or what's going to happen.
Right. I would say take the month of January to just kind of chill and do an inner cleansing process where you're just meditating on your own, listening to your own counsel. If there is someone, you know, like let's say for instance in February, if there's something new, because February is going to be like, it's really almost like the new year. February is going to feel like a breath of fresh air after January.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah.
January starting out like a beer financially, physically, everything. It's crazy.
Well, you know, sometimes it's just about the end of a cycle and before the new one picks up. It's very good. It's like everything else, to be a little bit quiet, to be introspective. If you do know your own chart, you know, follow the moons in it, see where new moons, full moons fall, how those cycles start. And New Year is always a good time. If you know, a good astrology reading at the beginning of the year helps the flow of the year to come, the cycles, reading the cycles, the map, as Kim said. But it's okay to take a time out because you have a lot of air and fire and mental energy in your chart. So perfection is a good thing for you. Like the quiet times are good. That's very fertile.
Does it sound like 2006 will be better financially, physically, in the areas I've been struggling? Does it look like it'll start to pick up and go in a better direction for me?
Yes. The potential for the new coming in very strongly, especially around that eclipse in March 8th, it will feel like a new chapter is opening up. And the second half of 2016 is much better for you than the beginning. Now, I know we talk about, the Jupiter in Libra coming up in September and all, but that sounds like it's so far away.
It does,
but we're in a time period that time is really speeding up, so it'll be here before no time. But the idea is that the beginning of this year starts out kind of like a sluggish energy for you, but especially the second half, it's definitely improved. But you have to get through this month and really, through your sheer, it feels like, persistence and faith to know that the next month is a little brighter, and then the next month. And as you it's kind of like cut the dead wood away from you so that you feel
right.
lighter as you go along.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's just how it feels. It's been real heavy energy. And I'm feeling the energies around me, the scattered, chaotic energy of people around me, too. Not all groups, mm-hmm. but certain groups that I'm around my living area and things like that. I can feel the people in the area and that just, you know, totally kind of off the wall right now. So it's like...
Right, there's a lot of chaos out there, you know, out in the
Oh, wow, yeah, definitely.
Do you get to go out in nature at all?
Well, I try to at least, you know, walk out and spend a little bit of time outdoors, not half as much as I'd like to, but working on this, you know, situations of health and finances, probably not as much as I should. But I know that helps to ground me as a rule.
Well, you know, I would pick one thing that takes your mind off of, you know, the challenges. And whatever that one thing is, it could be just going out for, you know, short walks. If you can't walk, then maybe it's reading a good book or maybe
I do a lot of reading and I read a lot of things online and, you know, I'm a lot of more mental, really, than I am physical. That's probably where I get bogged down physically, because I'm high mental energy.
Right. Well, anything that's physical, even if, and I say this to people all the time, even if it's in your home, if you can't even go outside, it's like you sit in a chair and you just kind of, you know, do chair exercises. Or I'm spoiled. I live in Florida, so we can go out.
So do I. Yeah, I'm in Florida. Where are you?
I'm in Pompano.
Oh, well,
South
I'm down near Hollywood, so, yeah.
Yeah, so you have a choice, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, great calisthenics or hiking or anything, but just to go
it's
out
just
for
a lot of stretching and
day.
Moving around and, you know, walking
Perfect.
In the community, and that is helpful.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, Mary, well,
yeah.
All right, well
you're on the right track.
Thank you very much. I'll look forward then to February getting a little better. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mary.
All right. I know. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Good. It's hard. Actually, do you know what I just got? I was so excited yesterday, Mary, for my new year. I was over at my friend Ashley's house. So I did two things that were really fun for the new year. One, I now have purple hair, partially.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. So it was really funny. My friend Ashley, who does my hair, and I'm like, I just want something kind of fun, something different. And, you know, I'm like, you know, like purple hair. And she looks at me and she goes, I can do that. I'm like, really? So the back of my hair, you know, the under part, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice violet flame color now. And but the other
Sounds
thing
cool.
that I did, yeah, it's really fun, and it made me feel really, like, excited and happy. So, but the other thing, too, is she gifted me a bike desk. So it's like it has a laptop desk on it, and it's a bicycle that you know, like a stationary bicycle.
Oh, my word. I've never heard of that.
It is the coolest thing. So when you come over, you'll have to see it. It's really neat. So I can set it up so I can pedal and be on my laptop and work and do all kinds of cool
You're
things.
Extremely coordinated. that's really, wow, impressive.
You know, so I figured, well, that could work. That could work. So we have two more callers. Do you want to take them?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Let's
They waited.
Let's
they waited
see.
So long. I don't want to. They waited so long. They deserve to be heard.
I know. They're so cool. So we appreciate all of you. Okay. So we have caller 6120. Are you there? Hello. 6120. Area code 904. Oh, hello. Oh, maybe not. Okay. They have their hand up. So, and then, okay, so then let's try 0626. Hello?
Oh, that's me. Hello?
Is that you? Hi, who's this?
This is Oriana.
Oh, hello, Oriana. You definitely had to be heard.
I guess so. I wasn't really expecting that, but that's wonderful. I'm glad to talk with you. Now, for your host, you have to let him know that Mary married my beautiful husband and I in the Great Pyramid.
Oriana and I are old friends, old soulmate friends, and we've been to Egypt quite a few times together. Quite a lot of adventures.
I love
Very
it.
Special.
That's right. Yep. So anybody going on a trip with Mary to Egypt is the best. It's the only way to see Egypt is through Mary's eyes. Quite certain.
Well, thank you so much. Her and her beloved actually got married or had a marriage ceremony in Egypt. So we were very privileged to be part of that. And Oriana is a fellow Cancerian and very astute. And so I'm not sure what I can actually tell you that you don't already know, Oriana. It is great to hear your voice and say Happy New Year in person.
Well, but I did have a question, and that is just in this, over the holiday time, but coming right up through New Year's, and even today I was feeling the same thing. That is, it feels, first off, it feels kind of like this excitement, a little bit of an exhilaration, and then there's this almost like an abject fear, a terror that goes on. And when I was doing my just writings today, what I was getting was that I was feeling this as if I was just headed for a precipice, like I'm going over a cliff and I don't even know it yet. And the writings were about, well, you've already stepped off that cliff and you're actually unfurling, like you got to get unfurled from the old genetic code, the DNA of old, into this new inner code before you smack back down to earth, kind of.
Well,
anyway, I don't know. Has anybody else had those same kind of exhilarating, something exciting is happening, but something is ever so like this real inner like terror almost, like, whoa.
Well, I think for people who are not afraid to go where, you know, few have gone before, like you, it's like being a pioneer. And I know you're a Cancer, and I know that the full moon, which was right around Christmas, that full moon in December, at the end of December, was also conjunct the planet Uranus. And so moon and Uranus, it's all about breakthroughs. It's about breaking through into the other side, whatever that other side is. And so I think your initial impulse, Oriana, is always to go at light speed and to break through to the other side, or as you put it, to, you know, jump off the precipice. But it's like the terror comes from, like, well, wait a minute, who's going to be on the other side? Who's going with me? Like, am I going to be the only one there? And I'm here to tell you, no, you're not the only one. That's how I'll get there, you know. And it takes people who are fearless to move forward quickly. And then, you know, collective comes through. But I think there's a large segment of people who are, like, saying, well, wait a minute, if I do this, am I going to be the only one? And that's our humanness, just saying, okay, we got to wait for everybody else, and to have faith that everyone else is right behind you, you know, even if you don't see them. I know I am. I'm jumping right off there with you.
yeah, no, you would be. But I have this almost this. Yeah, it is kind of like, okay, everybody, jump off the cliff. No, it's really, no, it's okay. You can go ahead, jump.
It's like, just the new. It's just we're so, I mean, what we're looking at is this awakening wave of consciousness that's so huge that sometimes, I feel like an idiot even talking about it because sometimes there's no words to really encapsulate it. But that wave is so huge that our minds, you know, our brains now can't even hold what's coming on the magnitude level. So we have to take it in small doses homeopathically. So yeah, it's okay, well, you know, I want the changes, but then what happens when I make the changes? And so we kind of flip-flop back and forth. That's normal. But, you know, some of us just are ready to move now. And as we're going, the momentum of it is, you know, it's kind of like when you look behind you and you see a tidal wave and you're like, oh, okay, can I really outrun this? Yes, you can.
Yeah, just when you said tidal wave, I had this of being in a current, like, you know, in a really strong current rushing river and, you know, hanging onto the bank and then finally saying, okay, I'm tired of clinging. I'm just going to go with it.
Well, that's, you know, it's all great. And you know what, we'll have to talk later because I'm sure there's a lot more we want to catch up on in the meantime. But I, you know, I don't know what the next step is in terms of, like, you know, what's the big future plan for the planet, but I do know that the whole idea is to be open and to be in our own lives, not to be stuck in fear. So wherever we're doing that, we're okay. And thank you for calling, Ariana. It's so great to hear your voice.
Yeah, it was wonderful hearing your talk. Thanks.
I'll talk
love
to you again
that.
Soon. Love you.
Okay. Bless, Ariana. That's so cool. Oh, Mary, you're so wonderful. It's like
well,
so
that,
awesome
that was
to
great.
Hold you.
That was great. It was someone I hadn't heard from in a long time, but always a great. Great surprise. So see, that's the Uranus surprises. We're just, you know, we're getting all these wonderful goodies. So, well, Kim, I don't, is there anyone else online?
I think we're good to go at the moment. And thank you.
No, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want to keep anybody else waiting.
Everybody, looks good. Thank you so much for everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Mary, for doing the call-ins. Those are always so great, and they're so much fun.
Well, thank you for having me, and happy first show of the new year 2016, Kim. I love you, too. I'll see you soon.
Oh, gosh, absolutely, Mary. Thank you. Much love, and we'll have you back on because we're going to want to hear about Egypt, and that is a reminder, too, for all of our listeners, pachaterra.com is Mary's website. You can also find her on motherhouseofthegoddess.com. You can book your readings. You can inquire about trips. You can just say hello. All of it is welcome.
yes, it
and,
is.
Yep, absolutely. And I will remind everyone, January 9th, we are doing the new moon. Laura Amazoni will be leading a live video ritual for the goddess Saraswati for creativity and intention setting. And on January 23rd, we have Anne Key, who's going to be our special guest priestess for the goddess Full Moon Group for the goddess Sekhmet. So there you go, Mary.
That sounds exciting.
Yes, we got some big energies coming in this month. We're very excited about it. So thank you again. Yay. First show of the year.
All right.
Hooray.
Happy New Year, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Happy New Year. Absolutely. And I will be back on Thursday with Taya from Hathor Sistrum. And we're going to be talking about the goddess Hathor, the Egyptian goddesses. We're going to be talking about Sistrum and music and dance and sacred expression. So I hope you will tune in Thursday at 8 o'clock. And happy New Year. Thank you so much, everyone, for being with us tonight. I really, really appreciate it. So we're going to drum you out with Circle of Women, Nalini Blossom, the Glastonbury Women's Choir. Blessings to everyone. Happy Mercury retrograde and happy 2016.